Why do I conduct my show on this manner? Mondo!
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
Eleanor!
Once again, something wonderful in my life has been turned into a giant crap fest.
Mondo!
Got a little bit more cock for you here.
Eleanor!
Bowtie boy got the big snaggeroonie.
Mondo!
Oh, six of my nipples are tingling.
Eleanor!
See why America loves him so much?
Mondo!
I'd like to smash you in the face with my shillelagh.
Eleanor!
I have no idea what's going on.
Mondo!
He was lying.
He said he never tells a lie.
He was lying when he said that.
Eleanor!
I want a cup.
Well, could you spell that?
C-U-P. I want to see you. Oh, my God.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Stomach batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
For God's sake, strap yourself down.
That's right. It's the show your bosses don't want you to listen to. The show that's going to tell you the truth about what's going on in the workplace. So wake the hell up. It's the Cup of Joe radio show. I am your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Our engineer, Sock Puppet Sam, is here!
Rock and roll, Joe.
And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but first, Sam, give us the URL for the site.
That's cupojoe.blogspot.com.
And the email address.
joevec@bellsouth.net.
All right, I want to welcome all of my fans listening in at the White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org. My good friend Ben Birch hosting my archives there. And, of course, all my fans at rantsradio.com listening in on Thursdays and Sundays.
And now I want to welcome everybody listening on iPod, which is now, it's the Mac thing. I'm not a tech person. I don't know a lot of this stuff. I know enough about computers to run the programs, but I don't know how a lot of this shit works, let's face it. And I saw an article in the New York Times on the 19th. Today's the 22nd of February, by the way. Tuesday, and I'm doing the show today just because I'm really in the mood for doing it. I didn't get a chance to do it last week or on Sunday because Ravishing Rick has been out of town and he's dealing with some personal issues, and I hope things go well for him there. It's a family thing, and so I wasn't able to get a show accomplished because I've been busy with other stuff. But anyway, it's Tuesday, and on the 19th, which was Sunday, whatever. There was an article about – thank you, honey. You disrupted my chain of thought there. Thank you very much. She was telling me it was Saturday. At any rate, I saw an article about this thing called podcasting, which basically allows people to download an MP3 of a radio show into their iPod and play it that way. And there was a site called iPodder.org, iPodder.org, and that has a listing of – a lot of different radio shows, music shows, politics shows, a lot of different shows on there. So a guy named – I spoke to via email a guy named Mike Murray with no A, M-U-R-R-Y. And he helped me get everything set up, and I really appreciate his help because I was like completely clueless. And I said, I got no clue, man. I got no idea what I'm doing here. I'm just doing it. And he said, it's all right. You listen to me, I take care of everything. Everybody talks with a New York accent on the internet. You know, you're not aware of it, but it's true. It's true. I saw it on Snopes, really. Snopes.com. You know, the whole thing. Everybody talks with it. Was not just a New York accent, but specifically a Brooklyn accent. I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody talks like this. You know what I mean? Anyway. But anyway, he got me all set up. So if you're listening to this on your iPod, if you're new to the Cup of Joe radio show via iPod, give me an email, joevec@bellsouth.net, or comment on the blog, which, as Sock Puppet Sam told you earlier, is cupojoe.blogspot.com. So I want to welcome everybody listening there. I hope everybody's had a good week or so. It's been about a week since my last show, and I'm sorry for the delays in doing it, but hell, I've just been busy. I'm working with not one but two different election reform groups, plus formatting the newsletter for the DeKalb County Democratic Party. And there's a bit of work involved in each of those. The two election reform groups I'm working on, one's hosted by my friend Phyllis, who was the lady who helped me out, my wife and I, when we were, well, we were essentially homeless. We had been kicked out of our apartment, and we didn't have a place to go, and Phyllis was one of the Dean for America people. This was during the early stages of the Dean campaign, and she says, I'll put you up at my place until you get settled, and she helped me find some work, and we found this place here, which is the place we live in now in Decatur, and we got in there very quickly and very easily. And my landlord, bless his heart, I had a word with him because we're very behind on the rent, and I haven't been able to pay him a lot of money, and he just said, don't worry about it. Just as long as you pay me something every week and keep the lines of communication open, don't disappear on me. And I was, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And he's been really good about that because we're really, really behind on the rent. So if you want to throw a couple of dollars in the till, please feel free. I don't generally do this, but just go ahead. If you've got a couple of dollars you can spare, please go ahead and toss them in the till. On the blog, there's a little donation slot there. Just if you have to, I'm not saying give away the rent or give away the rent money or money you really need, but if you got a couple extra bucks, at any rate. So she is basically doing is conducting an audit of the entire vote in the state of Georgia. She's going county by county. There are 159 counties in Georgia. And what I've been doing to help out is a little bit of web search work, trying to find election-related documents in the different counties, and also just helping doing some Xeroxing. And what she's doing is she's getting the different Diebold receipts. Now, this costs money, people. This costs some serious money because they charge you for this. It's an open records law, but they do charge you money for it. In some counties, it's as little as $100, and some it's as much as $4,000. Because what they do is they take the receipts from the Diebold machines. For those of you who don't live in states where they don't have electronic voting, the Diebold machine is a computerized voting machine. And it doesn't print an actual paper ballot, but what it does is at the end of the day, it spits out a receipt. These receipts are not what is officially accounted, by the way. What's officially accounted is get sent via modem to a master server somewhere, which automatically tabulates. Results can be instantaneous, but it's also about as easily fixable an election process as you can imagine. So what she's doing is she is taking the receipts from each of the Diebold machines from every county, from every precinct of every county, and there's a lot of them because there are several million people who live in Georgia, as you know. And we are going to compare those numbers, count it all up by hand, and we're going to compare those numbers with the actual posted election results to see if there's any differences in what was officially said. So I'm helping her out with that. It's actually a rather dangerous thing because the politicians on both sides are very much against people trying to dig into this stuff. As much as they talk about freedom and democracy, a lot of politicians are very much against it because it means losing their jobs, basically. The last thing they want is to work real hard to get elected and stuff. So at any rate, I'm helping her out with that. Now, the other election reform group that I am dealing with is one that is trying to work from the election reform thing from a legislative point of view. Phyllis is doing one thing in particular. This is, well, the group still doesn't have a name yet. We've been fighting over the name, and it kind of bugs me with left-wing groups. And I get into it every now and then with them because I'm very much a realist. I'm very much an understanding of practical things and practical ways of doing things. And some of these guys are not. They're ideologically based. And sometimes it pisses me off that they have this win-or-nothing attitude, and it doesn't work that way. And I keep trying to explain that shit takes time, and, you know, you keep getting the idea that they're going to get what they want and everything's going to be all, you know, flowers and roses and all this other shit, and it's just not going to happen. But at any rate, they've drafted some legislation in the Georgia state that actually has a bill number, and what it calls for is basically three things: a paper ballot being the official ballot of record, which is to be counted by hand at the precincts when the polls close and in full public view. And those are very important things, and I am all for that. Of course, I don't expect the legislation to get passed because, like I said, the politicians aren't interested. What they've done is they've introduced a countering legislation that basically forces the Diebold machine, which again is an electronic voting machine, which does not produce a paper ballot, to actually print out a paper ballot, because they are capable of doing that. They do have a printer built in. That's something that they don't tell you, but they do have a printer built in. And they want them to print out an actual paper ballot and count those instead of counting what the machines. But what the new legislation is doing is they want to print want the machine to print out the paper ballot, but they only want that to be used for recounts and for challenges. And that's ridiculous. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't solve any of the problems of electronic voting. And there are numerous problems with it. Yeah, there's always going to be a little bit of fraud in elections, but what you do is if you have a process like this where everything is counted by hand in the precincts, you make it so much more difficult for people to do that. You spread that fraud out all over the place and make it really, really tough for them to do that. Whereas with the electronic machines, the fraud can be centralized into a small group of people and really mess things up in a big, big way. So anyway, I'm working with them, and I'm helping them out. I'm going to be actually dressing up in a nice suit. My wife tells me how good I look in my suit. Oh, yeah, she's smiling and giving me the okay sign. Yeah, I've been buying suits at, like, thrift stores, paying very little money for them. And actually, it's cost me because I've wound up going in the hole in the bank because I spent a couple. I haven't spent that much, though. How much do you think I've actually spent on all the suits and the shirts that I've bought? Maybe less than $100. Far less than $100, probably around 50 or 60 at most. And I got some very nice polo shirts, which I like. They're very comfortable, and they're good casual, not formal, but good casual type of thing. Some good regular shirts, some ties. Ties are very inexpensive, you know. So I've been able to get quite a bit from the thrift stores, and I encourage people to do that when you're shopping for stuff, because you can get some really, really good deals. And from thrift stores. And I was thinking about that earlier today because I had to go and get a couple of things at a dollar store. And I was thinking about all the different things you have to buy nowadays at the dollar store. We used to be able to just afford to go to a regular store and get it. Not that I'm anything against dollar stores, but does it seem to you that you're buying more and more stuff at these places? Anyway, where the hell was I? Yeah, election reform. I've been working on those issues very, very strongly because I believe in that. I believe in the idea of self-rule, which is the idea behind democracy itself. Democracy is simply the method by which we employ self-rule. And by self-rule, meaning we determine the laws and we enforce the laws, not some ubiquitous king or a theocracy ruled by a particular religion. The laws are done by the people who live on it. As Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, the government gets its power from those underneath them. The government gets power from the citizens who comprise it. I of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that's what Jefferson wrote. And that's what Lincoln extolled later on in his Gettysburg Address speech. He was saying that, you know, we should make sure that the dead who died in the Civil War didn't die in vain, and that government of, by, and for the people shall not perish from this earth. And it's looking like it's going to perish from this earth, because the plain truth of the matter is that there is no single greater threat to the idea of self-rule than to have an unaccountable, insecure, untrustworthy voting system. Now, if we're going to vote for idiots, we ought to be sure we're voting for idiots. There's a pretty good chance that John Kerry really did win in Ohio. In fact, there's a pretty decent chance that John Kerry really did win in Georgia. At least certainly he got a lot more votes in the Atlanta area, because I'm damn sure that all those people who waited, how long did we wait, honey, 3 hours in line to vote? I'm sure, damn sure, most of those people were in there trying to vote out George Bush, not because they were excited about the wonderful things that George Bush is doing for this country, which of course he isn't. Anyway. Tell you what, let's take a little break, and we'll be back. And we'll have some friends at Buzzsplash talk to you, and I'll come back with some more. Sam, play us out.
We'll be right back with more of the Tucker Joe Radio Show.
Welcome back to the BuzzFlash.com GOP Hypocrite of the Week. Let's see. Last week's BuzzFlash GOP Hypocrite of the Week, Howard Kurtz, was connected to the prior week's hypocrite, Jeff Gannon / Gookert, and this week's honoree is connected to both of them. Now, we're not implying that the sartorial CNN star Wolf Blitzer had a military studs romp with Gannon / Gookert while on a date to view the moonlit Iwo Jima War Memorial, but boy, Blitzer sure joined Kurtz in going out of their way to make Gannon / Gookert appear to be a victim of an overzealous mob of internet bloggers and websites like, well, BuzzFlash. Blitzer, ever the polite one when dealing with a sensitive issue that might blow up in the face of the White House, had Gannon / Gookert on his CNN program. What was Wolf's first question? How about, quote, "Should I call you Jim or Jeff?" unquote. And from there, the questions got even more softball for the GOP shill by day, gay military hooker by night. You see, Wolf's job is not to analyze the news. It's to accomplish two things for CNN. First, to make sure no hair is out of place on his beard. And second, to protect the White House's flanks at all costs, or lose his fat paycheck and DC status. Last week we wrote, quote, "Anyone with half a brain cell realizes that Kurtz's comments are simply damage control bullet points from or for the White House. The blogging world did what the lackey mainstream press will no longer do, expose a story that is at the epicenter of the deceit and propaganda media campaign central to how the Bush cartel continues to control America." Unquote. Anyone want to loan Blitzer half a brain cell? He seems to be missing his. You know, Blitzer's no dummy. He just knows that his job is doing public relations for the Bush administration, not pursuing the old-style standards of ethical journalism. Hey, what do credentials matter when you spend your on-air time trying to cover up the truth rather than exposing it? Only Wolf knows. Our BuzzFlash GOP Hypocrite of the Week. Just remember our motto at BuzzFlash.com. So many Republican hypocrites, so little time. Catch up with you soon.
And we're back on the Cup of Joe radio show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the URL for the site is cupojoe.blogspot.com, and the email address is joevec@bellsouth.net. And once again, it is Tuesday, February 22nd, 2005, at 9:46 p.m. And again, welcome to all of my fans listening in at the White Rose Society on rantradio.com and to my new listeners on iPodder.org from the and people who are listening at iPod. Welcome, welcome, and I hope you're enjoying the show. There was an article last week in the New York Times again, and I read that's really the news website that I read most often apart from reading my regular blogs every day. And by the way, good work there on the BuzzFlash people for nailing Wolf Blitzer, who fucking deserves to be nailed, man. Jesus Christ, what an asshole. What a bunch of unprintable assholes these people are. And they're absolutely right. I mean, they're just, you know, they're making all this money, and they live in the world completely divorced from any kind of reality other than, you know, let's put on a show every single day. No concern with anything other than, you know, what are our ratings or what can we do to make a quick buck. It's just shameful and disgraceful, and it really stinks that it's got to be bloggers like Marcos and Atrios who have to do the work that these people simply aren't doing, and it's disgusting. But at any rate, I came across an article in the New York Times, which is guilty of its own share of stuff, I realize, but I still read them fairly regularly for news. And it was about a gentleman named Harry Frankfurt, who was a professor at Princeton. You know, excuse me, I don't know what what university he's a professor from. He's a big-time philosopher with an international relation. He's a professor emeritus at Princeton. There you go. Finally saw it in the little article there. And he wrote an essay, actually an entire book about bullshit. And in fact, he used that word, and in fact, the New York Times couldn't use that word, obviously, to describe it. But he was talking about bullshit. In fact, I remember the movie Network and the line that Howard Beale, who was the phony anchorman in the movie, who said he just got fed up and he'd run out of bullshit. And he talked about in the movie, Professor Frankfurt talked about the difference between a bullshit artist and a liar. Now, this is from the article. It said, "What is bullshit after all?" Mr. Frankfurt points out. Now, by the way, the article didn't say the word bullshit. They said, "What is bull?" with some asterisks on it. But they said, "What is bullshit after all?" Mr. Frankfurt points out, "It is neither fish nor fowl. Those who produce it certainly aren't honest, but neither are they liars, given that the liar and the honest man are linked in their common, if not identical, regard for the truth. It is impossible for someone to lie unless he thinks he knows the truth," Mr. Frankfurt writes. "A person who lies is therefore responding to the truth, and he is, to that extent, respectful of it." The article says, "The bullshit artist, on the other hand, cares nothing for truth or falsehood. The only thing that matters to him or her is getting away with what they say. An advertiser or a politician or a talk show host, like me, given the bullshit, does not respect the authority of the truth as the liar does and opposes himself to it. He pays no attention to it all." Now, I'm really not like that. I am not a bullshit artist. I will exaggerate things from time to time to stress a point, but I will not lie to you. And if I think something is my opinion, I will state that it's my opinion. And I am not, I don't consider myself a truth machine because I don't know everything. I can give the best take I can on stuff. But I am not doing this because I love my own ego. There is certainly an amount of ego just involved in getting in front of a mic and talking to people. But there is a difference between me and what a lot of other talk show hosts do. Me, I just like to talk. I like to talk about shit. I like to discuss things in a way that I think most people can relate to and understand. I don't expect to make a ton of money doing this simply because I'm not very confrontational. I'm going to talk about that a little later. But I was thinking about this after he was talking about the article and thinking about what the Bush administration does. And, you know, we do call the Bush administration liars. And to a certain extent, they are liars because they are cognizant of what the truth is. But really, they're bullshit artists. You know, in fact, they're so good at it, I call them bullshit Michelangelos, because they have raised the level of bullshit to such unbelievable levels that it's impossible to categorize it. You know, getting back to Howard Beale, in fact, Digsby's blog.blogspot.com, he has this on his website on the main page, and it was another quote from Howard Beale from the movie Network. He said, "We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You even think like the tube. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion." The Bush administration understands this shit better than anybody, and they play it for all it's worth. They don't care about the truth. They don't care how many lives they wreck. They're having fun. They're having a good old time because they're getting away with it. They love every friggin' minute of it. They really do. They're bullshit Michelangelos, man. They'll say anything because they just don't care. I was watching, the guy from the Powerline blog, which was considered to be a major blog, just talking about, I have the video of it, I don't have the audio to bring here, but it really doesn't matter. In the video, he's sitting at a table with another guy, and he's talking about how all people on the left are traitors, and how we hate this country, and all this stuff, and I'm like, and he's doing it with such a kind of laissez-faire, kind of, you know, casual attitude. I'm like, is this guy out of his fucking mind? He doesn't care. He's having a blast. He's saying what he thinks is right, or at least what he thinks he can get away with, and he's just enjoying himself. He doesn't care. He's not about to find out what the truth is, because the truth isn't going to set him free like it sets most people free. He really doesn't care. What do I get out of it? In his case, he gets a lot of notoriety and probably some money on the side, like Gannon or Gookert, whatever the hell his real name is. Gookert is his real name. You know, he's a shill. Well, yeah, well, like my wife said, they know they're not going to be called on it. President Clinton said the same thing. Why do they do it? Because they get away with it, man. It's Animal House. It's not the White House. It's Animal House. And we don't have to put them on double secret probation. We know they're assholes. God almighty. They're unbelievable. And I think, really, that's why there are so many of us bloggers out here. I mean, we're just mad as hell, and we're not going to take this bullshit anymore. We know it's an uphill fight. Because you know something? So many people like the bullshit. They really do. Bullshit makes the world go round, Fonzie said once. I remember that episode. He didn't say bullshit, of course, but he said bull makes the world go round. And you know, money talks, bullshit walks. Well, in this case, bullshit and money go hand in hand. If you bullshit well enough, you get money. Did you bullshit last week? I was thinking of the movie History of the World when Mel Brooks in the Roman era was going to get unemployment, and he was what he called himself a stand-up philosopher, which was like a stand-up comic. And B. Arthur, who was from the Golden Girls and played Maud, she was the lady at the unemployment place. And he goes up and he's like, okay, can I get my unemployment? And she goes, what is your profession again? He says, I'm a stand-up philosopher. She goes, what? He says, I coalesce the events of the day into brilliant political discourse. And she says, oh, a bullshit artist. Did you bullshit last week? No. Did you try to bullshit last week? Yes. I wonder if that's what goes on every Wednesday at those meetings they have at the Heritage Foundation about what they're going to do. Did you bullshit last week? Yeah. They just don't care, man. I mean, I care. I care about the truth. You know, I've said this before, and I say it again. If we had, even if after we went in there in Iraq, if we had done the right thing, if we had rebuilt the infrastructure, if we had really done a lot for the people of Iraq, and I have no doubt that there are a lot of soldiers out there who really want to do the right thing for the Iraqi people, but if we had gone in there and rebuilt the infrastructure and actually made the day-to-day lives of the Iraqi people better, you know what? I would have said, well, it still sucks that we went to war, but at least we were getting something serious accomplished. We've gotten shit accomplished over there. We have gotten absolutely shit accomplished over there. And the deaths are going up day by day. But do they care? No. What do they care? They'll find another way to bullshit their way around it. Oh, no, no. My wife is asking if the Republicans are like Nicholson in that movie, You Can't Handle the Truth. No, no, they are kind of like that in a certain extent. You know, they're like, you know, we're here protecting you, you know, and I would rather you just keep your mouth shut and move on. Give me a thank you and move on. You know, these guys don't believe in the idea of self-rule. They don't believe that we have the right to govern ourselves. They believe they have the right to govern over us. And if they can do it by bullshit rather than by force, hey, more power to them as far as they're concerned. And they enjoy it, man. They love it. It's the biggest party of them all. How serious is their mission? We'll never really know, because I don't think they're capable of distinguishing truth from falsehood anymore. I think they're just so caught up in their little game that they've lost all sense of it. And a government that loses sense of reality is doomed to fail, no matter how good they seem to themselves and no matter how good their press is. You know, I keep wondering what the citizens of Germany were like, knowing that when they started the war with Poland, that it was the beginning of something really, really bad, but they were powerless to stop it. And, of course, Germany ran right over Poland very quickly, very easily. There were very little loss of life on the German side. And, of course, you know, Poland wasn't much of a military power. And they just basically had their way with them. And there was nothing they can do about it, because the Germans had the propaganda machine rolling. And we've got a propaganda machine that's much better than theirs, man. And you keep wondering when the point is that the river is going to catch fire for the American public, but I think that point has already passed as far as I'm concerned. It's one of the things I had to fight with some of the election reform people. They don't understand. The river's already caught fire, man. The river's already ablaze. And we're sitting on the pier roasting wieners. It's not a call to arms for us. It's like, well, whatever. Didn't that fire look cool? They want you to live in the world. You know, I was thinking about this in context of the NRA, too. The type of world they want to live in. Where you're paranoid and you should arm yourself because you can't trust anybody. If that's the kind of world you want to live in, you know, you do that. I want no part of that. You can shoot me, you can kill me, and you can put me out of your misery. But I want no part of that shit. I want to live in a world where I'm safe because I know I can trust my neighbors. And countries are like neighbors. And while we've been a pretty good neighbor for a while, now we've turned into a bunch of drunken, ugly sons of bitches who are swaggering around town. And there's going to be a price to pay for that. We haven't paid it yet, but it's starting to get bad. And I was talking earlier about how it seems like, you know, people are shopping more and more at dollar stores and places like that. Not because it's cool to find stuff there, because you can find some good stuff there that's just as good as you can find in supermarkets for much higher prices. But because that's where people are forced to buy stuff nowadays. Is that the kind of world we want? My landlord, God bless him, he works 70 hours a week or so. I mean, I keep wondering, is this the type of life he wanted for himself? And here I am, unemployed. And that's just the thing in this country. You're either unemployed or you're working too hard. And if you're working too hard like that, you simply don't have the time to dig around and find out what's going on. The quickest and easiest way for you to get news is the TV news. And guess what? You're not getting the news from them. My wife watches CBS Evening News every night when she possibly can, and she really likes that. Although Dan Rather got a bunch of pie in his face, undeservedly, because it was all a setup, part of the dirty trick squad that the Republicans are doing. By the way, they're starting a new one now against the AARP. I don't know, honey, if you've seen this or not, but you know the American Association of Retired People played ball with Bush on medication stuff. I forget the word for it, but on a medication policy last year, pharmaceutical stuff. And how they're repaid is that the Bush people have sent in the hit squad, the ones that were the swift vote veteran people that tried to do in Kerry with those stories about his military record, the lies. And now they're saying, just a straight out lying, they're saying that the AARP is against the soldiers in Iraq and for gay marriage. What the hell does the AARP have to do with any of those things? Absolutely nothing. But you know what? If they can slime them, because the AARP would be the ones who are most going to be opposing them on Social Security. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you this story. Apparently, when Rick Santorum, who was a senator out in Philadelphia, one of the most hardcore of the hardcore right, was given a Social Security town hall meeting in his hometown of Pennsylvania, his home state of Pennsylvania, there were a bunch of people from Democracy for America there chanting, hey, hey, ho, ho, Rick Santorum's got to go. Not meaning to kill him, of course, meaning that he needs to be, he's up for re-election and he needs to be kicked out. Well, the young Republicans, and these are kids, mind you, and these are the kids, and what are they counter-chanting? Hey, hey, ho, ho, Social Security has got to go. Do these kids want their parents to come and move in with them? Because, you know, by destroying Social Security, that's basically what they're going to do. Oh, but I guess they won't mind because, you know, being young Republicans, they would sooner shove their parents into a nursing home somewhere where they can get abused and be robbed. But, of course, with no Social Security checks coming in, how are they going to pay for that? That's what a lot of these corrupt nursing homes do. They basically take your Social Security check from you. And, of course, if there's no Social Security check, how are the old ladies going to send all their money to the 700 Club? That's what I want to know. Maybe the PTO Club and all those people will have ways for them to invest their money in them rather than investing it in, or rather than just having a Social Security trust fund in there, right? Maybe that's what they want. The right wing hates Social Security, man. They've hated it ever since 1935 when it was put in. They hate it like anything else. And one of the reasons they hate it is because it proves how wrong they are about successful government programs. It proves exactly how wrong they are about it. And, you know, Great Britain has tried its hands with the privatized stuff, too. And the people who tried to go in retirement for it are making a lot less money than they would have if they had a system like Social Security. Same with Chile, which the Republicans are playing up as a great success, which, of course, is bullshit. It's not a great success. It's a great and total failure. But here are these young kids chanting, hey, hey, ho, ho, Social Security has got to go. And these are the ones who are going to be out in the street because they made stupid decisions when it comes to investments. And you know what? Not everybody can be an investment banker. Not everybody understands the intricacies of the market. And they want to force you into that rather than just having a bunch of money that you know is going to come in regardless of what happens in the stock market. You know you're going to get X amount of money after you retire, period. And you know what people used to do is a lot of people, like my dad who worked for the union, the city of New York, his union got him a pension. And combined the pension with Social Security, it gave him a nice tidy sum to retire to. And he had money coming in and he didn't have to worry about it because he was a union man. And because he got Social Security on top of that. My father was never a rich person, but you know what? He never needed that much money. Like I said in another show, I hate money. I hate what having too little money makes people do to get it, and I hate what having too much money makes people do to get more of it. And one of the things they want to do is destroy Social Security. I do a lot of sighing lately. You know, I was talking about not being confrontational. Let me tell you this story of what happened to me the other day when I was coming home from the election reform meeting. Granted, this was like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. It was late. We had a five-hour-long meeting where we argued about a bunch of bullshit all the time. And, me, Mr. Yak, I'm the one who's got to try to keep these people on topic half the time. At any rate, we were having a nice long meeting about shit, and I was tired, and I was driving home, and I'm running to get on I-20. I'm not going to give you great detail about directions, but I'm driving on the highway and I see a cop there and it looks like he's got a van pulled over, and I'm thinking maybe he just, you know, is holding me. What I found out later is that the whole highway had been shut down. They were letting people off the highway and he was trying to keep me from getting on the highway, but I didn't know that. It was tired and I didn't understand if he was signaling me across or telling me to stop or what. So I went ahead and I turned and actually drove over the divider a little bit. And he comes running up to the car, slams me on the window, and starts screaming at, cursing me out. Just literally cursing me out. And I was just like, look, I'm sorry I didn't hear, but he wasn't yelling edgewise, you know. Afterwards, I felt like I'd been in a fight. I don't know if any of you get that feeling after you've gotten into a fight, a kind of feeling of, like, nervousness and shakiness and stuff like that. And I kind of felt that way. And I felt bad that I didn't really be more confrontational with the cop, but there really wasn't much sense in it. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, I mean, granted, he had a right to be angry because I ran, you know, he was telling me to stop. He was trying to keep me from getting on the highway, but he was, you know, he grabbed my shirt, he grabbed my glasses, he called me a fat motherfucker, and, you know, he said, you know, oh, just a whole bunch of shit, and I was just like, hey, you know, I didn't have a chance to say much anything, but I really couldn't have done much of anything. He had a right to be angry, and he should have been angry at me, and I just would have just said, I'm sorry, I didn't know, it's late, I don't know what's going on, I thought you were just giving the guy a ticket, which was the truth. And, but I kind of backed down from that, and part of me feels bad that I didn't really, you know, try to confront the guy a little more, but I'm not really a confrontational guy, which, again, makes me a bad choice for a talk show host, I guess, because nowadays, I've noticed talk show hosts like to be confrontational. Well, I really wouldn't have. My wife said it was smart not to, but I really, you know, I was really too tired and too flabbergasted. I don't really work good under pressure like that. I like to have time to think things out before I react. I don't do well in immediate situations, and I never have, and I probably never will. I'm just a scared little rabbit when it comes to that. I do better when I get to prepare beforehand. And, you know, the Republicans are kind of like that, too. For all the bullshit, the reason why they're so good at being bullshit artists, bullshit Michelangelos, is the fact that they've built for themselves a wall where they're protected like that. And they work very hard at building that stuff up and preparing for it. And that's why they get away with the shit that they do. But, you know, I'm really not confrontational. I was watching a simple sports show and they were talking about basketball and people yelling over each other and shouting at each other. It's like, what the hell is that? You're talking about the fucking NBA. Christ's sake, people, get a grip. Get a grip. Well, again, with the size. Let me take another break, and we'll talk a bit more. Sam, play us out.
The Copper Joe Radio Show will be right back.
And we're back on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the URL for the site is cupojoe.blogspot.com, and the email address is joevec@bellsouth.net. Write me email. Comment on the blog. Let me know you're out there listening. I don't know exactly how many people listen. I think I get about 100 or so listeners combined from when you look at Rant Radio, when you look at the White Rose Society. And we'll see how many more visitors I get from the iPod people. And again, you know, if you're listening for the first time on iPod, welcome aboard. And I hope you enjoy the show. This is show number 89, by the way, for those of you who are just tuning in to me now. And all 88 of my shows that are currently up, because it'll take a few days for Ben to get this one up there. But every one of my shows is up on the White Rose Society site. That's whiterosesociety.org. And again, thank you, Ben Birch, for doing that for me. I want to continue on about the Social Security thing and about how the Republicans are handling it and how this could be a huge victory for us if we can stop their momentum. I mean, it's really that's what it's come down to at this point. Where it's just a huge victory for us if we can slow down their momentum. Hang on a second. Let me do a little business here. Honey, can you do me a favor? Can you fill this up with water, please? She's going to get me some water. I love my wife. My wife loves me. But I want to talk about Social Security. Fill it up with water, honey. I don't want you to know what she was thinking about filling it up with. Got a big bottle of hydrogen peroxide over there. I don't want to drink that. the truth of the matter is that these people want to destroy Social Security, and that's the plain and honest truth about it. And you know, if you're a working person, you work hard all your life, you deserve to retire with at least some income, and that's really what it's all about. That's what Social Security was all about, because poverty in the 20s and the 30s, in the early 30s. Thank you, dear. A little water, professional radio, ladies and gentlemen. At any rate, poverty was very big among the elderly. I don't mean big like popular, but, you know, there were a lot of very poor people who were elderly, and they couldn't support themselves, obviously, being old and not able to work anymore. And so the Social Security system was created. Actually, it had been done before in New York and other places. The New Deal liberals didn't pull the shit out of a hat. They had been working on it for years and working on it in practical solutions. For a long time. So they knew what they were doing, and they put it in place, and of course it's been wildly successful. Now they want to get rid of it. And again, if you work hard, and especially these idiot young Republicans who were chanting, hey, hey, ho, ho, Social Security's got to go. thank you for being honest, by the way. That's a good campaign message for our side. They could wind up in a situation where they don't have any money coming in. You know, if they're successful in destroying Social Security, there could be in a situation where they don't have any money coming in because they made bad investments, and it's going to hurt them. And if you've worked hard all your life, you deserve to retire in peace and not to expect to have to keep working until you die, which is what the Republicans want out of you. You know, they're bullshit artists, but they're bullshit artists with a purpose, and that purpose is to be able to slack off in life as much as possible. Because, you know, once you get that kind of momentum, all you need to do is just work hard enough to keep it going. And, of course, with the kind of money that they were able to build up and the kind of power they were able to have, there's always people willing to sell their soul to the devil for a few dollars to get what they want. And, you know, a lot of people are just buying into the bullshit. My wife and I were talking about that beforehand. Hang on again. You know, now that I had Rick and sometimes Clay coming over here to talk, I'd kind of gotten used to having a conversation with somebody, but now that they're not here, I'm doing the show by myself for this week. Hopefully next week, by Sunday, Rick will be here, and we'll be able to get stuff going. But at any rate, my throat is getting a little dry. So what was I saying? Now, my wife and I were talking before the show about you know, basically the people who have been brainwashed, for lack of a better word. And, you know, my wife was she was a hardcore Republican, but she pretty much believed, right, honey, you pretty much believe that Democrats were bad people and that Bill Clinton was a bad person and all that stuff, right? And she's like, yeah, and some of her relatives are still that way, and they haven't discovered now. And I asked her about, you know, when was a turning point for you with some of the stuff I was showing you? And she said it was stuff about Bill Clinton in Ireland. Now, a lot of you who aren't aware of this, Bill Clinton was a lot of help in getting the Irish peace process moving along. In fact, the Irish people themselves hail Clinton as a hero because they really feel that his input made a difference between the constant fighting they'd been doing and, you know, a lasting peace, which we seem to have found in Ireland, by the way. You haven't heard any news about Irish bombings lately, have you? I haven't heard any news about that. It used to be a fairly regular occurrence. Now, of course, the regular bombings are going on in Iraq. More water. Sorry, my throat's getting very, very dry here. I guess I got about, 6 minutes or so, 7 minutes to kill. At any rate, yeah, I'm killing time. That's all I do on this radio show, ladies and gentlemen, is I kill time. Murderer. My wife said, murderer. Here you are, time. 20 seconds dead. I'm insane, ladies and gentlemen. But that's okay. Only insane people have radio talk shows. But there's still a lot of people out there who are just buying the bullshit. And they're going to hear all this stuff about ownership society, and they're going to hear all this shit about privatizing and how they get a chance to have control over their money, blah, blah, blah. And in the meantime, they're just going to get ripped off. And the first way they're going to get ripped off is by the fees that the brokers are going to charge them for handling their financial deals. What do you think, they do that for free? What the fuck do you think, they are communists? You want them to do something, they're going to charge you for it. You know what? They're not going to charge you a little bit. That's what happened in Britain. That's what happens in Chile. You know, these guys, they charge you money for moving numbers from one column into another. And they make a damn good salary at it, too. I mean, looking at the whole thing, and there's just something wrong with the entire way we run our lives, we run our economy. I think there's something entirely wrong with it. And I really don't have a solution. I wish I did have a proper solution to it. But there really is something wrong with it. And we need to find a way to get that right. But basically what the Republicans want to do is they just want to steal your fucking money from you that you worked hard all your life to build up. They just want to take it from you. You know, old people were some of the best people to be scammed into buying stuff over the phone. A lot of them don't have a lot of contact with people, and they tended to trust people. People would call them up with some tremendous new offer, and they thought they were being honored by it, or that they were just glad that somebody would call them up and talk to them because they were very lonely. And they would buy stuff from him, partly out of naivete, partly out of just loneliness, and partly because they had some disposable income. Well, at least they thought it was disposable anyway. A lot of them wound up going in the poorhouse for that. And I've said this before, you know, there are some people who simply can't handle lots of money. And that's my other thing about that. Even if you're assuming that you're good enough to make investments, that you're going to come to a bend. Hell, if you're good enough at making those kinds of investments, you don't have to worry about Social Security. You can make the investments on your own. And you can do a much better job of it. Hands off Social Security, man. And that's one of the things the Democrats ought to do. Is just simply say straight out, no compromise on this shit. Atrios pointed it out. Decos pointed it out. I'm pointing it out for the Democrats. Do not compromise on this issue. Do not play this game with Republicans. Do not pretend that you can come up with a bipartisan solution to this. Because you know what? You're not going to. You cannot compromise with these people. You cannot deal with these people. You put your foot down and you say, no, you don't touch it. And we're going to fight you tooth and nail every step of the way. You know, we've already lost a lot of these fights. And I hate to be the bearer of negative news, but we've already lost a lot of these fights. We've got so much catching up to do. And I get mad at from... People on the left get mad at me for saying shit like that. Oh, you're too negative. If you don't want to leave, you know, if you don't want to fight to win, you should leave. So you guys missed the point. We've already lost a lot of these battles. Now it's a fight just to catch our breath so we have a chance to fight back. It takes a lot of time, man. progressive movements take a lot of time. Well, hell, any kind of movement to change the political landscape takes a lot of time. Even with all the money and all the influence they were able to wield because of that money, the right wing didn't come this way overnight, you know. We've got a long, hard fight ahead of us. And the best that we can hope for is to set things up in such a way so that it'll take them maybe 140 years to come back from, because it's taken them about 70 years or so to come back from the last real drubbing they got in 1932. The American fascists are out there, people. Just because we're not gassing Jews doesn't mean we're not fascists. And it doesn't mean that we don't have strong attributes of fascism going on right now. The propaganda's there, the corporate control of government's there. You know, gassing the Jews was just a thing that was specifically geared towards Nazism, German fascism. Although they had their share of it in Italy and Spain too, no doubt. But really what they look for is any kind of a scapegoat. Some of the speeches that Adolf Hitler gave to the Germans before they attacked Poland were not word for word, but the same type of sentiment that George Bush gave for attacking Iraq. They're a threat to us. We better take them out before they take us out. And it's domestically and it's in foreign policy. You know, these people just, you know, they want what they want and they have absolutely no qualms about doing anything it takes to get what they want. We have to recognize that. And we have to act on that. And it's the truth, man. And it's the truth. I mean, again, I hate to be the bringer of bad news. I don't mean to be. It's not my intent. But it just doesn't work that way. You got to go out there and you got to fight for it if you want something. It's as simple as that. And they're coming down hard now. They've said it straight out that this is their first opportunity that they have got to destroy Social Security. And that's what they want to know. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Social Security's got to go. They don't say that in public. Those college kids were being far too honest for those guys. But that's what they want. They want to destroy it. They don't see us all as human beings. They only see themselves as human beings. You get what you get. And if you can't keep up, then fuck you. We'll leave everybody behind. I used to compare it to when I was in the service, being in the obstacle course. Hang on a second. You know, when you go to basic training in the military, at least when I was going through, they make you run through an obstacle course. And when I went through actually two basic trainings, Army and Air Force. In the Army, the attitude for the basic training people was, when you're going through the obstacle course, if your buddy's having trouble getting over an obstacle, help them out. Because every soldier counts. And the object is to get from point A to point B and then do what you need to do once you get there. But getting there is the tough part. And you're supposed to help your soldier out. Help your fellow soldier out. And that's the way it ought to be in our society. We ought to help each other out. When people have obstacles, you know, we can help each other to get by them. Because we're all in it together, you know. But if it was up to Republicans, if you can't make it, well then fuck you. And you know, we poor outnumber you rich. You guys don't understand that. And you want to talk about hard realities. There's only a certain point that you can go before things explode, before things get so bad that people just say enough is enough, and out come the pitchforks and the torches. You know, we keep them in a closet over to the side. Anyway, I gotta go. I gotta go. My wife is trying to interrupt me, but I gotta go. No, because the time is up, honey, and I've gotta go. Anyway, until next time, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Show signing off. Bye.
Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, open a jar of John, don't put anything on, I'll chug a jug of George, I'll sip a mug of Doug, with the creamer of Steve, how many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do everything, open a can of Dan, make a meal of Sam, but don't give me no mug, cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been recorded live at the fabulous Studio Al in Decatur, Georgia, and has been produced by Jove Enterprises, Incorporated. Joe Vecchio, the host of the Cup of Joe Radio Show, is a production of Mr. and Mrs. Vecchio of Brooklyn, New York.
A plate of Dave, creamer of Steve, a mug of Doug, a cup of...